Everybody say it. Amen. What a wonderful song. We thank Farron for all that he does. He does quite a bit for us. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And probably there are some of you that don't know that, first of all, this is only the second time I've been behind the pulpit to deliver a message, but more than that is I'm not a preacher, I'm a lay speaker, so we'll get that straight. Most of you know that, but just in case someone is here that doesn't. And it's different. It's a different experience. I've been coming up front for probably 36 or 37 years in some capacity or another, but this is completely different. So you pray for me as I try to bring you the Word of God. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today, for the opportunity to stand here and bring your word. And Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would be with us. We know that without the leadership of your Spirit, that there's no way that we could rightly divide the word of truth. So we pray that you would give us your Spirit this morning, that he might lead me and guide me and direct me, that your word might be brought forth in a way that people can understand. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with each one that's here, that we might have open hearts and open minds, and we might receive your word. And Heavenly Father, we realize that anything that happens is all because of you. And Heavenly Father, we give you the praise and the honor and glory this morning. This we ask in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen. All right, so I guess if I was going to put a title on this, well, it could be one of two things. It would be, how do I get saved, or how do I get to heaven? And they're kind of synonymous. You have to be saved to get to heaven. So how do I get saved? How do I get to heaven? And I look at it in kind of a little different twist, I think, than normal. I'm going to look at this from three different viewpoints. So then those will be the three points of the message. Three different viewpoints. And the first viewpoint is going to be the worldly view. The world's view. What's the world's view on how do I get to heaven or how do I get saved? What's the world's view? Well, there are some that don't believe you can. There are some that believe that there's no God, there's no heaven, there's no afterlife. People just cease to exist. About 4 weeks ago or five, Brother Keith talked about this a little bit. These same people believe in the Big Bang Theory, you know, the Big Bang Theory. And to kind of give you an analogy of how unbelievable that is, you know, when I was growing up, when I was in school, I was a big science person. I thought that you could prove about anything or disprove about anything by science. And you know what? To me, even then, when I was unsaved, even then, to me, science said there was a God. There's too many things that happen. But anyway, to give you a little analogy of how ridiculous the Big Bang Theory is, let's say I went home to my computer, and you know, these new computers, you just push a button and it'll type that same letter back and forth till you reach the end of the page, right? So I hit the letter A, and I type that page full, and I do that enough to where I type a million letter A's. Cut them all out. I've got the million A's sitting here. I do that the same way for B's and C's through the alphabet till I get to 26 letters. So I've got 26 million letters. That's, you know, it's heavier than you think. So I'm going to get a C5 Galaxy plane to haul them up to in the air. And you've seen those pictures where they drop those sleds out of the airplanes with a parachute. We're going to do that. And then once it comes down so far, that thing's going to explode. There's our Big Bang. And when it hits the ground, we're going to have a dictionary. Now, isn't that ridiculous? Can you believe that somebody would actually think that that could happen. But if you believe in the Big Bang Theory, you believe in that. Because this world is a whole lot more complicated than a dictionary. Everything has order and everything is related. So how could you even look at science and believe in the Big Bang Theory? But that's those people. Those are, you know, we would call those atheists. Others believe in God, but they have a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge. And they go to heaven by doing good things, by being a good person, by being tolerant of other people, by doing good, giving to charities. And you won't believe how many times you hear that. You know, you have to, and even you know, when they talk about these politicians, talk about this person or that person, what's one of the first things they say? Oh, they give to this charity and they help the poor. Like, they're talking about all these good things that these people do. Well, you know, the world believes that that's how you get to heaven, or that's how you get saved, is by doing these good works. And the world will say, you know, well, there's good in everybody. There's good in everybody. You just got to look for it. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It didn't say a few. It says all have sinned. The world, but the men love darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. If all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and men are evil, how are their evil deeds going to get them to heaven? Well, they can't. So I want to read to you Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. He said unto him, or this is Jesus, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good. Now, there is none good but one, and that one is God. There are none good. So if you're not good, how can you do good works? And especially, how can you do works that are good enough to get you in heaven? And this is the short part of this, the worldly view, because it's pretty simple. The other part of this is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. And this is the way the world thinks. It says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof are the ways of death. So the worldly view is, well, I'm going to be a good person, and I'm going to do good to others, and I'm going to give to charity, and I'm going to do all these great things. And notice, I'm going to do it. And there's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. So they believe in works. They can work their way to heaven. That's the world's view. Then we come to the second point, or the second view, and that is the religious view. Now, just because you say something is religious doesn't mean it's biblical. Get that out of your head. You know, a lot of people try to make that point. Oh, I heard somebody say, oh, he's such a religious man. That doesn't mean anything. You're religious every day of your life in something. You brush your teeth religiously, don't you? All these things you do religiously. So religion doesn't mean that it's biblical or scriptural. So, but anyway, here's the religious view, the religious view. Bali says that there's no sin nature. Man simply needs saving from his own erroneous beliefs. So, and how does that happen? He has to do it on his own. It's something that he has to do. His beliefs, his erroneous beliefs on how the world works. Now, I can't go into a whole lot of detail in these because there's quite a few of them. And if I did, we would be here way longer than you want to be here. So I'm going to just kind of hit the high points on these religions, and then we'll kind of go from there. But anyway, how they relate to the world, and they believe that these messengers come down, they're sent by God, and they learn from these messengers, and then once they figure all this out, and once they get saved from their erroneous beliefs through things that they do, see, knowledge that they gain on their own, and also they all, and there's a lot of religions that believe there's a pathway after death. That and Bali is one of them. Said, and this journey continues after death until you're united with God, but it's works. It's the same thing. It's a religion, but it's based on works, and it's not going to get you anywhere. The second one I want to hit on right quick is Buddhism. Buddhism has an eightfold path. There's this. Now I'm not going to go through all eight things, but part of it is understanding the universe, acting right, living in the right manner, speaking right, having the right intentions, just to name a few of them. And what is all that? Works. If you're evil, which if you're unsaved, you're evil. Clearly states that in the Word of God. So if you're evil, how are your intentions? How are you in the right manner or do the right things? You can't. Now you can in your own eyes, but you can't in God's eyes. The third one, right quick, is Hinduism. In Hinduism, you have to free one's, first thing you have to do is free oneself from the cycle of reincarnation. And they believe that you die and you're reincarnated, but that just keeps going on and on and on. So in order to get to heaven or to be saved, the first thing you have to do is you have to break that cycle. I don't know how they do it, but you know, you have to break that cycle. And your spirit becomes one with God, which is after you break the cycle, which is done by one of three different things. One of them is, well, you have to rid yourself of bad karma first. And you rid yourself of the bad karma by doing one of three things. And one is having selfless devotion and service to a particular God. Selfless devotion and service. The other is understanding the nature of the universe. And the third is mastering the actions needed to appease the gods. Now, I tell you right now, Hinduism has over 1 million gods. 1 million gods. Which probably means they don't have any. Because there's only one true God. So Hinduism. But still, it's the same thing. See, if you look at these, you can see the pattern developing right now. It's all works. It's all work. Hinduism, it's works. Scientology is the next one. It's similar to Eastern religions in the fact that salvation is achieved through knowledge of the universe and self. How do you get that? You have to study it on your own. See, it's all something they have to do. And they say the soul travels through different lifetimes. And during these travels, it rids itself of traumatic or painful images. And then after those images are, they've gotten rid of these images, they control everything. They control life, thought, matter, energy, space, and time. They control it all. But to get there, they have to do something. See, they have to rid themselves of bad karma. They have to work. Wicca and Unitarianism. They teach that the afterlife is whatever you want it to be. And they don't believe there is salvation is an issue because they don't believe the sin nature exists. So they're completely out of the out in left field. But so Wicca and Unitarianism. And then that brings us to some more. But these are a little bit different. Those we could say are basically kind of Eastern religions. This one, these next few are Christian Judeo derivatives or offshoots. Now notice I said derivatives or offshoots because they're not true. And you could actually, I debated a little bit on whether or not to say this, but I'm going to say it because I'm feeling led to do that. But actually you could call them cults if you want to. Years ago when I taught Sunday school upstairs, I taught, Brother Keith probably remembers this, he was up there. I taught that most cults, all cults, usually have some type of scripture involved in them. Why do you think that's true? They don't believe in God, most of them, but why do you think these cults have some part of scripture involved? It's so they can legitimize what they're saying and what they're doing, because they think that putting scripture in there, and they always twist it, and they always turn it, and they always change it, but it's in there. That's to legitimize to the people of the world what they're doing. It has nothing to do with salvation. But anyway, these next ones are Christian Judeo derivatives or offshoots. Eastern Orthodox. They reinterpret key scriptures. No, see, they change things. They reinterpret key scriptures in such a way that works are essential, not just a part of, essential to get to heaven, and that salvation can be lost. Bad. Works again. Here's one that'll get a rise. Roman Catholicism. It's right in there too. Originally, the Roman Catholics believed that only Catholics could be saved. They were the only ones. Nobody else could be saved. Nobody else could get to heaven. That was their original belief and thought. And that you got that way by joining the church, and to join the church you had to go through all these classes and rituals and all these different things that you had to do, and it went on for weeks and weeks, and you joined the church, and once you joined the church, you were saved. But now they've changed that a little bit through the years. There have been some changes, but they still require one thing. They require baptism. They require baptism. And, of course, they don't immerse, they sprinkle, but they require. I haven't seen anywhere in the Word of God where it says you have to be baptized to be saved. It's not there. Now, is baptism important? Yes. Baptism is the first step of obedience after you become saved. And you should be baptized once you become saved. You identify yourself with the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord. But thief on the cross wasn't baptized. And Jesus told him, even this day I shall see you in paradise. It's not there. So baptism, another work. See, they think you have to work to be saved. Mormonism. The Mormons rely on extra grace works. Extra grace. I'm not sure I know what that means. Extra grace works. But anyway, that's what they say. Extra grace works. They must accept Christ in this life or the next life. They have to accept Christ in this life or the next life, and they have to be baptized. Baptism is part of that. And if you accept Christ in the next life, you are baptized by proxy through a living relative. I don't know. But see, it's all, every one of them, you can see it every time, every one of them continues to put some kind of work into what they believe. You have to be baptized by proxy, by living. You have to be a church member. That's another thing. You have to be a church member to be saved. I didn't see that. I haven't seen that anywhere either. You don't have to be a church member. Church membership will not get you to heaven. That's for sure. So you have to receive the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. Works. Now, these Christian Judeo derivatives, they all have Christ in there somewhere. He's there somewhere. They just keep adding all these things to the Word of God. The Jehovah Witnesses, the anointed, they believe the anointed are the 144,000 and who receive salvation through the blood and are the bride. And they believe that there are 9,000 of those 144,000 exist today. That 9,000 of that 100. How do you know if you're one of the 44,000? They've had great trouble with this when they first adopted that, their membership was way less than 144,000, so they didn't have any problems. But once their membership got over 144,000, they've had great problems. So they've solved them in this way. For everyone else, Jesus' sacrifice only freed them from Adam's curse of the original sin. And faith, they believe that faith is merely the opportunity, now get this next one part, to earn their way to heaven. They have to earn it. You can't earn it. You're not good enough to earn it. So, they believe that approximately 9,000. So, and then they believe that all of the rest of them, when they get to heaven, will be ruled by this, by the 144,000. The next one, and the last one in this group, is Islam. Muslim believes that salvation comes to those who obey Allah sufficiently enough. They obey Allah sufficiently enough that their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds. Works. They believe that repeating what Muhammad did and repeating what Muhammad said will be enough to get them to heaven. And then they just in case that's not enough, they do some extra things. They recite extra prayers. They perform good works in hope of tipping the scales. And then the last one part of that is that martyrdom in the service of Allah is the only thing that guarantees you a place in paradise or in heaven or salvation. Kind of close this section with the same thing, Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, see, but the result thereof is death. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Verses 22 and 23. Let's see. And when he was entered into... No, let's see, that's the wrong one. That's chapter 8, 22 and 23. Okay, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. So there's going to come a time, the judgment time, and people are going to say, ask God, said, you know, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And the second part of that is, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So all those good works, that right there tells me that all those good works don't mean anything. They can't be good, actually, because before God they're like filthy rags. But anyway, that no good work that you think is a good work, or the world thinks is a good work, or these religions think is a good work, will get you to heaven. Which brings me to the third view. And I would like to say the right view and the true view, and that is God's view. God teaches that salvation is a free gift through faith in Christ. True Christianity is the only religion, if you want to call it, I hate to call it a religion, but the world kind of sees it that way, that thinks this way. True Christianity is the only religion in the world that thinks this way, that salvation, and guess this, salvation is a free gift of God through faith in Christ. No amount of works is necessary or makes it possible to be saved. No amount of works is necessary or makes it possible. In other words, it's impossible to get saved by works. Ephesians, I'm going to read. You all know it, but I'm going to read. Ephesians chapter 2. I lost my sticker. I wanted to hunt. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. not of works, lest any man should boast. It's just simple. You know, you're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. See, God does it all. God even gives you the faith that you need to receive Him. So you're saved by grace through faith. You know, God is just and He's holy, and the works of an unsaved person won't meet the price that God requires to be reconciled with Him. God is just. Brother Keith mentioned it this morning in Sunday school lesson. He was just and He was holy and He was righteous in the Old Testament. He's just and He's holy and He's righteous in the New Testament. He's the same. He's just and He's holy. So He has to do things perfectly and righteously. That's His nature. He has to. So just and holy God and of an unsaved person. Now, I said an unsaved person. After you get saved, you are created unto good works. The Bible does say that. You are created to do good works after you're saved. Your works leading up to the time you get saved aren't any good. They're not any good. Your works are going to be judged. The works of people who aren't saved are going to be judged. You're going to be judged out of the books, aren't you? The books are going to be opened and you're going to be judged out by according to your works. And those who are unsaved, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be cast into the lake of the fire because their works aren't any good. Now, if you've been saved, your works are going to be judged too. It tells us in Corinthians, they're going to be tried by fire. And they're compared to two different things, or actually two different types of things, wood, hay, and stubble, and gold and silver and precious jewels, which we all know that wood, hay, and stubble, if it's tried by fire, what happened to it? It burns up, it's gone. Jewels and gold and silver, if they're tried by fire, what happens to them? They're made pure, they're made better, they're purified. So, and it tells us that if your works are destroyed in that, you will suffer loss. But the very last part of that says, yet ye are saved. So all those other religions that believe you can lose your salvation, forget it. Who has the power to take you out of God's hand? I don't know of anybody. So anyway, so your works won't do anything. But Christ, see, Christ was the perfect sacrifice. And He met the price that God required for salvation. He met the price. He didn't meet it for Himself. He's God. He met it for you and for me. He paid the price for you and for me. Isaiah 46:6 says that all our righteousnesses, or our good works, see, are as filthy rags before the Lord. They don't count for anything. But God's work, Christ's work on the cross, that counts for everything. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures. I'm going to read one to start with. Titus chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. Titus chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So see, it's not by anything that we can do. We can't do anything. We can't do anything that's pleasing to God except receive Christ as our Savior. Thing that we can do before you're saved that's pleasing to God. You know, you see these things on TV and you hear these things, country song, somebody throws up their hand and says, Jesus, take the wheel. Well, you know, you're just tempting God. And that doesn't work. That's not what God wants. And it doesn't work that way. You know, the only prayer God can hear from you, if you're unsaved, there's only one prayer He can hear from you. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's what he wants. That's what he'll hear. Now, after you've been saved, he hears every prayer. He hears everything. So in the opening scripture, John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again or he couldn't enter into the kingdom of heaven. So how does he need to be born? I'm going to close with this scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things, the silver and gold, from your vain conversation which received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So, it's pretty simple. So you know now that no amount of works that you can possibly ever do will ever get you saved. Can't do it. It's all it takes is simple, childlike faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, today would be a perfect day and a perfect time. So if Brother Farron wants to come and we'll sing a song of invitation and we'll be ready to be dismissed. If the Lord's working in your heart, don't put it off. There's no better time than the present to do what God wants. And number 176.